chapter 4. The thought will go along with this morning, very familiar verse of Scripture, verse 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, the heart, are the issues of life." It's a very simple statement. It's very straightforward, very plain, nothing mysterious about it. It's something that concerns every child of God every day upon this earth. It's a verse in which it would be well for us just to put our name in front of "keep." Just put our own name there, because it's a very personal verse of Scripture. We're to take it personally. We're to apply it directly to ourselves. So it's very plainly, it's set forward in a very plain way. But it is a very difficult work. And it is a constant work. And it is a work of absolute necessity. It is the task, I would say, it is the principal task of every child of God. Someone might say, "Well, I think prayer is the principal task." I'm here to tell you, if you don't do this, you can't pray. This is the principal task of a child of God. Everything about our life, our spiritual life, is vitally connected to what we read here. So we're going to speak this evening on maintaining spiritual heart health. You see, first of all, the duty is stated. That is obvious. We see the matter of the duty: keep thy heart. Now, only God can truly keep the heart. But in this case of keeping the heart, our efforts, I believe, are the instruments that he uses to keep the heart. Keep thy heart. It is our duty. It is our duty through the power of God. That's the only way it can be done. It's not something we're going to achieve on our own effort. So it requires effort. God did not save us to be drones or to maintain a passiveness. He bids us to work. He bids us to labor. And especially in this area concerning the heart. I believe the sad thing is that so many have engaged in the wrong work, directing their attention to that which is really incidental, and neglecting that which is absolutely essential, that which is fundamental, keeping the heart. The word "keep" means to guard, means to garrison. We're to guard our hearts. That also says something about our hearts. It means to watch. Watch your heart. Watch your heart. Means to give vigilant attention. Give vigilant attention to your heart. It means to regard with vigilance and care. The word "heart," of course, has reference to our inner being. Is that which controls and gives character to all that we do. Without the heart, it's nothing. Without the heart, it's mere formality. The heart is the thoughts. It's the motions and the affections of our soul and our spirit. It is the source of all human conduct. You take care of the source, and the conduct will take care of itself. But you've got to take care of the source of human conduct. So just as our physical bodies depend upon the soundness and vigor of the heart, so it is spiritually. Keep thy heart. That verse implies that the heart has been made right. That happened when the Lord saved our soul. He made our heart right. But we have a responsibility to keep it that way. No one can keep our heart right for us. And we can't keep someone's heart right for them. It implies that the heart needs keeping, which implies that it is prone to go astray. And we know what we read there in Jeremiah 17 and 9 concerning the heart. So that's the matter of the work is keep thy heart. It's personal work. Again, we can insert our own names at the very beginning of the verse. Again, it's not something that I can do for you. It's not something you can do for me. It's something we have to do regarding ourselves. It's our heart. Keep thy heart. If we neglect to do that, we will become the wayside ground that is hard, unreceptive, unresponsive, the spiritual seed. It is our heart, and if we neglect that, we will become stony ground. Spiritual matters do not take root, cannot take hold of our life. It is your heart that, if neglected, will become overgrown with thorns, so that spiritual matters are strangled. So no matter what anyone else does, no matter what may or may not happen, it is our heart that we must keep. And if we neglect to do that, we become like unused and wasted ground. And again, the sad thing is there's so many are engaged in the wrong work. I'm not saying it's not a good work, but it's the wrong order. They give their attention again to the incidental, neglecting the essential. This is essential, absolutely essential, if we're going to be right with God. Taking care of our heart is never incidental. It is always essential. So it's a personal matter. We see also the manner of performing the duty. Keep thy heart. With, the word with introduces the manner in which something is to be done. All diligence. It doesn't just say, keep thy heart. It does not just say, keep thy heart with diligence. But keep thy heart with all diligence. The word all refers to the quality. It refers to the extent of the diligence. It is to be with all diligence. That is, keep thy heart with the greatest possible amount of diligence. Diligence has to do with effort, has to do with care and thoroughness, has to do with perseverance and tenacity and commitment. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep thy heart with constant care and effort and heed. Keep thy heart with haste and with a sense of urgency. If we know anything at all about the condition of our heart, the nature of our heart, I should say, we see this is an urgent matter. We are to guard and garrison our heart, and we are to do so constantly. We're to watch it constantly. We are to give vigilant attention to the condition of our heart at all times. Regarding it again at all times. It is a work that is never done until we leave this life. It's a work that's binding upon the child of God at all times. There is no time, there is no condition in the life of a child of God where there should be an intermission in this work. It's a constant, constant work. In times of prosperity, God's pouring His blessings down upon you. Keep thy heart with all diligence. I believe with all my heart more people fall during times of prosperity than they do when in the lean times. Keep the heart. In times of adversity and trouble, keep the heart with all diligence. Times of trials and temptations and suffering, keep the heart with all diligence. When you're in the very midst of serving God, performing your duties before God, keep the heart. When you're praying, keep your heart. When you go to church, keep your heart. When you dress right, you do right, keep your heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence. It's not that we don't have other concerns, but this is above all our other concerns, our heart. It's always the main concern, or should be. Nothing more important, nothing more necessary for the child of God than what is stated here in Proverbs 4:23. We can do right, but if we do not keep the heart, we become mere formalists in the things of God. We become Pharisaical. It's foundational to serving the Lord. It's foundational to doing that which is pleasing to God. And again, unless the people of God spend more time and effort about their hearts, they're not really going to do much in the service of the Lord. They may outwardly, but it doesn't amount to anything if our hearts are not kept. Then notice the motive. What should be our motive for performing this duty? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for, or because, out of it are the issues or the outgoings of life. So what he's saying here is guard and garrison, give the utmost attention to your heart, because that's where thoughts are formed. That's where purposes are planned. Words originate in the heart. Actions proceed from the heart. Keep thy heart. If we do a wrong action, certainly we are to repent of that action. But we've fallen short if that's all we do is say, Lord, forgive me. The heart needs to be fixed. Otherwise, that action is going to happen again and again and again. Because the heart is the source.
So to neglect this duty, you place yourself in imminent danger. Anytime you and I fail to guard our hearts, we place ourselves in imminent danger. The reason that so many depart from the faith, there are several reasons, but one of the main reasons is, and the reason they give heed to fables, is because they failed in this matter, in keeping the heart. The reason many are led away by error is because they failed in this matter, to keep the heart. The reason many have so little zeal in the things of God and more zeal for the world is because they failed in this matter. So the general neglect of the heart is the root cause of the present state of many who are saved. When we neglect this duty, our actions, our thoughts, our words, our inclinations, our purposes, and our wills begin to move away from God. That places us in danger. Anytime my thoughts, I don't care if it's for 5 seconds, anytime my thoughts start moving away from God, I'm in danger. Anytime my will starts to move away from God, I'm in danger. We're to recognize when those things happen. And we're to keep the heart. If we do that, you'll never get too far away. If you're always concerned about your heart condition, you'll slip, you'll fall, you'll fail, but you'll never get too far away. We are what our heart is. The Lord knows the heart, and we are what our heart is. You read in Proverbs 23 and 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So is he. When sin is outwardly manifest in a life, it's because people have failed to guard and garrison their heart. It is because they have failed to give vigilant attention to their heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence. If we fail here, you will fall. You will. It's not if, you will. If we fail to keep our heart, we will fall. If we fail to keep our heart, we will. Eventually, outwardly backslide from the Lord. If we fail here, zeal and strength will run in the wrong direction. It'll run toward the world rather than toward God. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We see also the constancy of the work. There's no limitations put upon this verse. There's no time, there's no condition in the life of a child of God where this is not to be our work. As we've already said, in times of prosperity, keep the heart. In times of happiness, in times of joy, times of great pleasure, keep thy heart with all diligence. In times of adversity and trouble, keep thy heart with all diligence. In times of temptation, guard your heart. In times of loneliness, or in times of closeness and fellowship, keep thy heart. In times of distress and anxiety, keep thy heart. In times of health, in times of sickness, keep thy heart with all diligence. In times when you feel like you're on top of the world, in times you feel like you're on the bottom of the world, keep thy heart with all diligence. In times when we feel good about ourselves and times when we don't feel good about ourselves, keep thy heart with all diligence. Whatever emotion you're feeling, keep thy heart with all diligence. When we're filled with expectation, keep thy heart with all diligence. When you're thoroughly disappointed, keep thy heart with all diligence. When the news is good, keep thy heart with all diligence. When the news is bad, keep thy heart with all diligence. In times when everything seems to be happening at once and you begin to feel overwhelmed, keep thy heart with all diligence. When people say and do things and your feelings are hurt, keep thy heart with all diligence. When you feel anger in your heart, keep thy heart with all diligence. You need to guard against that anger taking up residence. When you begin to feel bitterness and malice and resentment, you better keep your heart. Those are dangerous times. Remember, no matter what anybody else is doing, keep thy heart with all diligence. Sometimes we get our eyes on other people and it doesn't seem like they're doing anything and we begin to get angry, we begin to get bitter, we begin to get upset. You better keep your heart. Those things will destroy you. We need to take care of our soil lest we become a spiritual wasteland. We cannot begin to stress the importance of each child of God to be diligent at all times in keeping the heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Again, it's personal. You can't keep, you'd like to, but you can't. You can't keep the heart of someone else. And they can't for you. It's personal. It is a very definite work. It is an urgent work, and I pray that we would see the urgency of the work. It is imperative. It's difficult. It's not easy to always be guarding the heart. Because sometimes when we begin to feel anger, guess what? We want to be angry. And sometimes we want to stay angry. Better keep your heart. It's a very difficult work, but it's imperative. It's constant. And I assure you, it's worthwhile. It'll always be a worthwhile work. You'll never misspend a moment guarding the heart. So what is included in this duty? What does it mean? We know it means to guard, but how do we do it? How do we keep our hearts? Well, we have to shut out from it all that is opposed to God. There is not a day in my life, nor in yours, where that which is not opposed to God runs through this mind, runs through this heart. It happens every day. You can't live out there and that not happen. But you know what? You don't even have to live out there. You can lock yourself in a room. Just you. It's still going to happen. God is a jealous God. He claims the thrones of our hearts. And He requires for you and I to love Him supremely. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. I don't believe I've ever done that. Some may feel they have. Perhaps you have. I doubt it. I'm not going to argue with you about it. Psalm 119:2, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. I don't know that I've ever done that. The whole heart. Every bit of it. Because there's always some depravity there. Paul said in Romans 7, when I do good, evil is present with me. We must guard against our hearts being drawn aside from God. It only takes one thought to draw our hearts aside from God. It only takes one person to say one word, and our hearts can be drawn aside to God. It only takes us to see something, and our hearts can be drawn aside. Our hearts are drawn aside so easily. And that's why we have to guard them. So again, it means to pay close attention to the direction in which our affections are moving. And as we've preached many times, as soon as we see we're heading in the wrong direction, I don't care what else is going on, you need to stop. You need to stop and you need to reverse course before you get too far down that road. You must guard against anything that would come before God in our lives. I don't care what it is. Nothing is to come before God. When that begins to happen, we need to get our hearts straightened out. We're to guard against anything that would enter our hearts that are a hindrance to serving God. There isn't a day that goes by that something that is going to hinder me spiritually doesn't go through this heart and show itself or go through this mind. We have to guard against those things dwelling there. A lot of them we can't help from passing through. It's like the old guy said, you can't help if a bird lands on your head, but you can certainly help if he builds a nest there. And there's a lot of things that we can't help that go through our mind because of what we see and what we hear. But we can sure do a work to keep it from finding a lodging place in our hearts. And one of the worst conditions you can get in is to let that which hinders dwell within you and you think you have a right to do so. You're in serious trouble. Well, they did me wrong. I have a right to be mad. You're going to ruin your spiritual life is what you're going to do. Hanging on to what you call your right. I'm here to tell you it's not worth it. Look diligently after its cleansing. All sin is opposed to God. All sin is in opposition to the Lord. And all sin must be guarded against. To look diligently after its cleaning, that cleansing, that would mean that we must confess sins. As soon as we identify a sin, we are to confess it. Don't wait, because you might forget. Just as soon as you sin, confess. Turn from sin. Because sin in the heart will alienate the will. Sin in the heart will alienate the mind and the affections from God. Sin in the heart will pollute. Sin in the heart will weaken our entire being. Someone might say, well, just a little thing. And it may be in your mind. There is no such thing as a little sin. And even if there were, all sin grows. It's active. So you got to take care of it. Sin in the heart will rob you of what is required to serve God. That's why we read in 2 Timothy 2 and 9, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Keeping the heart always includes searching the heart. We have to always take inventory of our heart. And we need to ask God to help us to do so. Notice in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me, that is, put me to test. Know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked or offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That needs to be our prayer several times every day. We have to be aware of what's going on in our heart. We can get offended. We can get angry. We can get a lot of things. But you better not stay there. Better keep your heart. Repentance of sin is absolutely necessary in keeping the heart. Keeping the heart requires that all sin be dealt with. We're not even aware of every sin we commit. There are sins that we commit ignorantly, but we must confess those also. Lord, you need to confess every sin you know of, and then you need to confess the sins that you don't know. Lord, whatever sins I've committed that I'm ignorant of, forgive me. Don't allow those sins to take a lodging place in our hearts. Keeping the heart means that we keep the heart right. Now, it must be right before you can keep it right. To keep the heart right means to keep it in the right condition. You know, people will ask, is your heart right with God? Well, I suppose that people have different definitions of what is a right heart with God. Well, it's a heart unified to God. But it's a willing heart. We must keep our heart in a willing condition, willing to do as much as we can. Again, most of us, well, most of us are getting older, but we all are. But many of us, we can't do the things that, everything that we would like to do. That's part of life. No longer able. But the heart is to be kept willing. The heart is to be kept willing. I do believe that there is a great reward from God, though a person is unable to do so, they're willing to do so. I believe God blesses that. A willing heart is willing to give the best they have to the Lord. Just give the best you have. A willing heart is willing to lay aside their own will for God's will. Again, your heart can't be right if you're not willing to lay aside your will for God's will. A willing heart is willing to do and to go wherever the Lord may lead. If we keep our heart in a willing condition, that keeps it from becoming stubborn and obstinate. And I mean with regards to the things of the Lord. We keep our heart in a tender and soft condition. How do we know if our heart is tender? How do we know if our heart is becoming hard? Well, a tender heart is easily affected, easily impressed by the Word of God, by the things of God. When that ceases, when your heart is not easily affected by the Word of God or easily impressed by the Word of God, that's a sign that your heart's growing hard. Needs to be taken care of. A tender heart is a heart that's always willing to yield. A tender heart is pliable. It's flexible. It feels the proddings of God. There are some people you'd have to hit them upside the head with a 2x4, and they still wouldn't get it. Because their hearts are hard. But when our hearts are tender, just a little prodding from the Lord will do. Just a whisper. It's a heart that's ready to be molded in any frame that would best please the Lord. That's a tender heart. We're to keep our hearts tender. It's a heart that says with Samuel, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Speak. It is a heart that says with Paul, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" That's a tender heart. A tender heart has a fear of sinning against God. It ought to scare us to sin against God. Not so much that I'm afraid what God's going to do to me. That's kind of self-centered, really. But sin displeases God. I don't want to displease God. I fear displeasing God. That's a tender heart. A tender heart is always ready to repent. It just takes the gentle proddings of the Lord. Again, it's not a heart without sin. There is no such thing in this life. But a tender heart is ready to repent. It doesn't excuse, it doesn't justify, it doesn't redefine sin. A tender heart desires fellowship with God and is always interested in renewing fellowship and is always interested in that fellowship growing and becoming closer. A tender heart is a submissive heart. A tender heart desires the will of God. That's why, again, we read, "Harden not your heart." The heart must be kept tender. But that very command, Psalm 95:8, and it's repeated in Hebrews 3 twice, "Harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation." It's something we can do to ourselves. Our hearts can become hardened by circumstances, but we can harden our own hearts. And I dare say that that's the case most of the time. We harden our own hearts. Because even if circumstances harden our hearts, if you really examine it, why didn't you stop it? Why didn't somewhere along the line you keep your heart? So it gets right back to, in some degree, we have hardened our own hearts. We're to keep our heart in a meek and lowly condition. Such a heart will be full of thanksgiving and praise. We can tell a lot about our heart with how prone are we to give thanks to God. How prone are we to just praise the Lord? We need to keep our heart in a fixed condition. The psalmist said in Psalm 57:7, "My heart is fixed." In Psalm 112:7, speaking of the righteous man, the psalmist said his heart is fixed. Trusting in the Lord. That is, it's firmly attached to God. We must not allow our heart to become attached to other things, that it becomes detached from the Lord. As soon as we see that happening, that our hearts are becoming more attached to something in the world, can be a family member, can be anything. But our hearts are becoming more attached to the world and detached from the Lord. We've got a heart problem. And if that continues, you've got serious, serious problems. We read in Hebrews 10:22, "Let us draw near with a true heart." That's a right heart. To keep our hearts, because that's how we draw near to God. It is a heart that prizes and esteems Christ, firmly attached to the Lord. Again, the truth is, worldly cares have greatly increased the neglect of our hearts. Our busy world has contributed greatly to the neglect of our hearts. We become so busy that we don't take the time to keep the heart. And the reason that so many find the Lord's service just to be mundane and mechanical is because they haven't kept the heart. And it's a lot more difficult, say, every single day, we confess our sins, we draw near to God, we repent, we turn to God. It's a lot easier to do it that way than to neglect the heart for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a year or 2 years and then get right. I'm not saying you can't get right. You certainly can. But it's a longer process. There's more to it. The reason that so many are indifferent about spiritual matters is because they have failed to keep their heart. As soon as we feel ourselves becoming indifferent toward spiritual matters, that's a sign of a heart problem. The result of failing to keep the heart with all diligence is sin is unmortified. Worship begins to be performed in a careless manner. Prayer is either neglected or hurried over. The giving of thanks is either forgotten or it's given without any thought whatsoever. People that fail to keep the heart, they hear, but they give no attention. There is no personal application. They may sing, but they do so without delight or melody in the heart. If we fail in this matter, love to God, love to truth, love to one another grows cold. That, for the truly saved individual, makes for a miserable life. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Oh, that we would realize the importance of keeping the heart. When you do the right thing, you do what God tells you to do, and you do it with a right heart. Keep your heart. Don't neglect your heart. It's what Satan's waiting for. The way to keep the heart is to watch unto prayer. Paul says, watch and pray. What are we to watch for? Well, I believe first thing is we're to watch our heart. Watch for the attacks of Satan when we pray. And he does attack when we pray. Keep the heart means to resist the devil and his attacks. The book of James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. He'll leave. He'll come back. And when he comes back, what are you to do? Resist him again. And he'll leave again. And he'll come back again. Well, just a constant battle. To keep the heart, I believe, means to live in the atmosphere of God's Word. We live in the atmosphere of this book. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I don't believe that can be overstressed. Keep the heart. It's not the only thing we have to do, of course, but it is primary. It is foundational. Keep thy heart Keep thy heart. Encourage others to keep their heart. Don't allow your heart to become hard. So I can't help it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You draw near to God. You're just like wax. You put it near the flame, it begins to soften. That's true with our hearts as well. Well, I don't know how to draw near to God. Ask God to draw you near. He'll do it. Isn't that what the Shulamite woman prayed? Draw me. And sometimes we can get in a condition where I don't know how to draw near. I don't know how. Ask God to make you. Lord, I'm in such a miserable place that I can't even draw near to you. Draw me. And I believe he will. I believe he does. And those are ways that we keep our heart. We have to do it. Again, we don't know what's coming in this life, but I don't think it's a picnic. I don't think we're getting ready to have a big picnic. The only way that you can be prepared for what's coming is to keep your heart. It's the only way. God help us to always fulfill this duty. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.